This is a Triple J podcast.
G'day, it's Dave Marchese with your deep dive for the week, and we're going to talk about the world of sperm donation. And it might not be something you've considered too much before, but there's a big question around this. Is Australia in a sperm drought? Should you trust a donor you met on a random social media group? And what's it like to be a sperm donor? Some fertility experts are warning Australia is running out of sperm, and it's changing how people are finding donors.
There's an app for sperm donation, and you swipe like a dating profile and they swipe on you, then you match and you can message people.
I just put a post up and got a lot of women reaching out.
In a bit, you're going to hear from an expert who can really break down exactly what is going on with donor numbers in Australia.
So at our clinic alone, we've got a 2 to 3 year wait to get to the top of the list.
And someone who knows firsthand what it's like to have a donor-conceived child.
I'm seeing so much increase in demand and people wanting to pursue this path to motherhood.
But first, Jackson Worthington has been online looking into how this donor shortage is impacting how people find sperm.
I've always wanted to be a mum, and I didn't want to wait for the right person to come along.
Indigo's in their 20s, and 5 months ago, they gave birth to their daughter Plum.
I've seen a lot of my friends wait a long time to find the right person, and then that relationship doesn't go well. So it just felt like it would be easier for me if I had one by myself.
Indigo's a solo parent by choice. They're one of a growing number of people who found a sperm donor online instead of going through a clinic.
Price definitely had a big thing to do with it. Sperm is expensive, and I also really wanted my child to know who their sperm donor was from the get-go.
Indigo found their donor through an app like Tinder or Bumble.
I love every moment of it, and I feel so lucky that her donor was able to help me achieve something that I wanted to achieve forever.
The numbers of people seeking sperm donors is only going to increase.
I met Indigo in a Facebook group with more than 20,000 members. It's a group which helps people looking for sperm find donors.
The numbers are quite scary.
Stephen Page is a fertility lawyer and secretary of the Fertility Society of Australia and New Zealand. He reckons changes to donation regulations in New South Wales are forcing more people to look online for donors. Last year, the New South Wales Health Department tightened the rules around how many times sperm from a single donor can be used. The new rules limit the number of donor families to 5 anywhere in the world.
Unless you're wealthy in New South Wales, you're not going to be going to an IVF clinic in New South Wales to access sperm.
The rules around sperm donation are different in every state and territory. Stephen reckons that's a problem. He wants to see the same rules Australia-wide.
If we have some consistency across the country, there should be more available sperm. The second thing is there should be regulation of the donor apps and websites. So they are required to get IDs off the donors. They're required to find out how many times he's donated before. They have to report that data.
Right now, some parts of Australia have set a limit of 10 families per donor, while other places just have ethical guidelines. But none of these rules apply to people who donate sperm informally.
I just felt like I could really make a difference.
Isaac's in his mid-20s, and he's been donating sperm for about a year now. He says he's only going to donate to 10 families.
I thought that was a reasonable number to go for. I also have a group where I add all the successful recipients in there.
But not everyone using these groups sets themselves limits. I've spoken to people who plan to donate to dozens of families. There are also stories of people fathering hundreds of children, like a dad-son duo in Canada who together donated to more than 500 families.
Because I'm an expert on the topic, I kind of thought, oh, I'm immune to this. But I didn't expect it to be this kind of slow motion, everything falling into place for me.
Dr. Giselle Newton is a fellow at the Centre for Digital Cultures and Societies at the University of Queensland. She's also donor conceived. Her donor was paid for a donation in the 1980s, but Giselle didn't meet him until she was 30. Giselle reckons anyone considering finding a donor online should think about a few things, like how many other recipients there might have been, and whether the person seems trustworthy.
So I would just encourage people to think carefully about what the legislation is, what kind of legal issues might come through accessing sperm online, and think of this as a lifelong decision.
Hack on Triple J.
Jackson Worthington reporting there. Okay, let's get some clarity on exactly what the sperm donor numbers look like in Australia right now. And with us is Dr. Lynn Burmeister. She's a fertility specialist based in Melbourne. Hi, Dr. Burmeister. Thank you so much for joining us on Hack.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Is it true that we're experiencing a sperm drought in Australia, as some people are calling
it? Yes, we are experiencing a huge sperm drought Australia-wide. So we have long waiting lists of people wanting sperm, and that can be single women, same-sex couples, and also men that are born without any sperm in heterosexual relationships. So at our clinic alone, we've got a 2 to 3 year wait to get to the top of the list.
Wow. Okay. That is a really substantial wait. And what do you put this shortage down to? Is it fewer people donating sperm, or is it more demand for sperm?
I think there is increasing demand for sperm, and I think there's definitely a decline in men giving their sperm up. They don't get subsidised for donating their sperm, and there is Australia-wide, the donors have to be identifiable to the child later on in life. So I think that turns a lot of men off when they start having their counselling to become a sperm donor.
And is that a change from the past? Was it previously you were able to donate anonymously?
Yes, in the past, but not in Victoria. For the last 20 years or so, it's always been donor children have to be able to identify their sperm donor origins. But in other states, this is a new change for them.
And what things do you think need to change to reverse this trend? Like you said that sperm donors aren't paid in this country. Do you think that that is a potential solution, offering some kind of payment?
I think so. Well, at the moment we're relying on overseas sperm banks, and that's actually really expensive because the overseas sperm banks have to comply with all of Australian laws. And for instance, in Victoria, a sperm donor can only have 10 families. In New South Wales, they can only give 5 families. So if we're using sperm from overseas, it becomes really expensive because that clinic overseas can't, you know, use that sperm donor potentially locally because it's worldwide. It's just not in Australia. It's worldwide that you can only have 10 families worldwide. So that does restrict even getting overseas sperm as well. And also the guys who donate sperm, they don't get paid. And often they'll have to do 3 sessions of counselling. They have to have 2 sets of blood tests, and then they have to donate their sperm sometimes a couple of times and have it frozen. So it's a bit of time and effort for them as well. And a lot of guys get turned off by the long process it takes to get them ready to become a sperm donor.
Is there a risk, if payment is offered, that people might jump into this for the money? We know that it's a cost of living crisis and people are trying to make money any way they can. Do you think that there is a risk that maybe some men wouldn't think it through properly?
Yes, I think that's the argument about why we don't pay our sperm donors. But I think some compensation, not overly paying them, but some compensation for their time off work. So it sort of cuts down that inconvenience factor that might be turning some men off. Like, I've got to take a day off work, I've got to do 3 sessions of counselling. So if we can pay them for the inconvenience but not a whole heap of money, that might help us increase our numbers.
And just quickly, for those men who are considering becoming a sperm donor, what kind of support is offered to them, like in terms of resources, information?
Yeah, so we have a lot of information, say, within our clinic. They have access to counselling at any point in time. So there is a lot of support for the sperm donors within each clinic. They do need to have compulsory counselling and obviously a lot of support along their journey to become a sperm donor as well.
Well, thank you very much for having a chat with us and filling us in on some of those details. Dr. Lynn Burmeister, I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
We've got a lot of messages coming through on this. Ainsley says, I have a donor-conceived child. I got lucky during COVID before the sperm drought hit. There is a reason that going through clinics is recommended. Thorough genetic and blood testing, health histories, and a maximum amount of families per donor. Another person saying the buy a baby model is highly unethical and can cause grave trauma, that person says. We've got someone on the line with us now who actually considered towards becoming a sperm donor. Kyle from Brisbane is on the line. G'day, Kyle.
Hey.
So you thought about becoming a sperm donor. What kind of prompted you to think about that?
So I got a targeted ad on Facebook from RMIT, and I was like, oh, you know, that's a good deed that I could do for someone. I'd love to help someone who needs a bit of help to have a family. And then, yeah, basically I had a call with someone and I got this massive email. And at the time it was just very bureaucratic. And for me, I was like, oh God, this is a lot of work for something I thought would just be a nice, easy, good deed to do for someone.
Right.
Yeah. So, I understand like the health implications and the psychological and legal reasons that you might have all those things, but it definitely felt like a barrier.
Okay. So you decided against it in the end?
Yeah. I mean, I'm open to it now because like I've discussed with a childhood friend doing IVF with them and our own kind of journey. So I am more open to, you know, doing it for a stranger. It was just a lot for not knowing what I was getting myself into, I guess.
Yeah, well, fair enough. And I mean, there's plenty of information out there that, you know, you've got to get through if you do want to become a sperm donor. Kyle, thank you so much for having a chat with us. I really appreciate it. Let's hear from someone now who's conceived a child through sperm donation. Alicia Byrne is founder of the Solo Mum Society and has become an advocate for having a kid alone and going down that journey. Alicia, thank you so much for joining us. You're often speaking to people who are looking at sperm donation. Are you surprised then people might be ditching clinics and hitting up people in other ways to find donors?
Not surprised at all. I'm seeing so much increase in demand and people wanting to pursue this path to motherhood. And then with all the shortages and the different regulations in different states, and that's a bit of a moving feast about which states are doing which things at the moment as well. So it's not a surprise to me at all that this is one of the struggles that everyone's having.
What do you think about this idea of allowing payment to donors to boost numbers?
Personally, I think it should still be altruistic. I think you're going to get donors that are in it for the right intentions and that are willing to go through all of the necessary due diligence before making a donation. You want to ensure that donors are going to be open to having contact with any children created from their donations in the future if that's what the children want. So I think it's really important that they are going through the right reins. And I think if you're paying people, we might attract the wrong people that might have detrimental impacts on the children later on.
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, as we heard before, we actually don't have national regulations for sperm donation here in Australia. It kind of varies from state to state. Do you reckon that's having a bit of an impact on this donor shortage?
Absolutely. I've got women in my Facebook group that are in New South Wales and they're having to travel interstate. I've got people in New Zealand as well that have the same problem. So there's more and more people that are coming interstate to get treatment because they know that certain states make it easier and that there is more availability. There's also the limitations on international versus local donors, and not all clinics in all states have access to both. So that can impact on the availability as well.
This is Hack. I'm Dave Marchese. I'm speaking with Alicia Byrne from the Solo Mum Society. We're talking about conceiving child through sperm donation and, you know, the sperm shortage that Australia is currently experiencing right now, a lack of donors and people finding themselves in really tricky situations, unable to find a donor on a massive waiting list. Alicia, how stressful is it conceiving through donation? Is it a bit of a rough journey?
It is. I think one of the hardest parts is making the decision in the first place. You've got to overcome so many mental barriers to make it. And then once you finally make that decision, you just want to get pregnant as quickly as possible and make that family dream come true. And then if you're facing more and more waiting time trying to get a donor, then, you know, if conception isn't working as planned and all the other things that come on, it can be incredibly, incredibly stressful.
Are you starting to hear from a lot of women maybe a bit younger in their 20s, for example, who are thinking of going down that route, who think, you know what, maybe I won't have a partner and maybe I don't want to be in a relationship and I might like to be a mum solo and look for a sperm donor?
Yeah, I think one of the most beautiful quotes I've ever heard is that you can find true love at any age, but becoming a mum has a time limit on it. And I think more and more women are going to grow up now going, I'm going to have a baby at 25. If I found the right person, great. If I haven't, I'll do it on my own and it will just be so accepted. Whereas currently it tends to be skewing a bit older because it wasn't seen as a viable option. But now more and more people are seeing what a wonderful way it is to create a family. And all of the longitudinal research is showing that children from solo parent by choice families are having equal or better outcomes than all other family types. So a lot of the stigma that was there previously is going away. So I think more and more women will choose it. and if just, they don't find the right partner, they want one in the first place.
Yeah, and just quickly, I mean, any advice for anyone who's thinking of conceiving through donation? Like, it must be very tricky thing to navigate. You said part of the big barrier is often just deciding to do it in the first place. Do you have any advice?
I would just say that you need to think through your decision based on the long-term implications for your child. So whether you're going through a clinic or whether you're looking at unregulated channels, which there are large risks in, don't rush into anything and any decisions with donors. Make sure you are doing it with the best interests of the child. And the sperm shortage is impacting some of those decisions for people, so it's better to just wait a little bit longer and get the right donor than to rush into something that you then have to try and explain to your child later on.
Great advice. Alicia Burns from the Solo Mum Society, really appreciate you coming on and speaking with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Lots of interesting takes on our text line and on our socials as well. People who have thought about sperm donation, who've been through this, or maybe, you know, are considering one day using donors as a way of starting a family. Look, don't forget to follow us on our socials at Triple J Hack on TikTok and Instagram, and subscribe to this podcast because we have drops like this every single week. That's all for now. I'll catch you next time.